You ever heard somebody say it's not really faith unless it has works that go along with it? Well, we've heard that a lot, and we're going to talk about it on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. So we're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got questions, you can send them to us. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. Sean and Bob are going to tackle our question for today. So here is our discussion, Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We're taking your questions, and I think this one might be a multiple part show. What do you think?
Well, I think, I don't know.
You don't know what I'm going to ask.
Is that the question I gave you that's got all kinds of parts to it?
Can you just think about it?
Okay.
Yes,
it will be a multiple part.
Who would do that? That was the late night guy, Johnny Carson.
When he played the magician. What was his name?
Great something or other.
Karnak.
The great Karnak.
Karnak the Magnificent.
I've never actually seen a single episode of that show. I've just seen people parody him. But anyways, okay, so this is a question from Vernon, and it's a kind of a multiple.
We might take more than one show.
Vernon says this, the Calvinist and Reformed teachers that we read and study do not teach that salvation is gained or earned by perseverance and faith in good works.
Well, before we go on, I would say that's questionable. Although they formally say that, informally they say something different, but keep going.
Yeah, they teach that true faith is demonstrated by a faith that endures to the end.
Okay, hang on. Now we've got true faith instead of faith, there's two kinds of faith, and it's what? Demonstrated?
Right. So, and then
by works that persevere to the end. So now we have perseverance brought in by the back door.
I think I know what he means, but let me just read this and then we'll talk about
it.
The Bible teaches this, and then he gives a bunch of verses that teach this idea that true faith will endure to the end. Let's just kind of break that down a little
bit. And we need to go over those verses.
So technically, he says Calvinist Reformed teachers do not teach that salvation is gained or earned by perseverance and faith in good works. I could see why he would say that. Because a Calvinist or a Reformed teacher would say God just predestines whoever he wants to salvation, and he causes them to believe, he causes them to do good works. So it's not really about them meriting anything. God is doing it.
Okay, I can see how a charitable reading might come to that, but let me give you a couple of examples where that's really not true. For example, Tom Schreiner at Southern Seminary and Ardell Kennedy, who is at a Bible college, I believe, in Minnesota, they wrote a book called The Race Set Before Us. They're both Calvinists.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're on a race, and they show a picture of a man running a race.
Right.
And they said the prize that he's running for is everlasting life, what they call throughout the book final salvation.
Yes.
So they say initial salvation is by grace through faith apart from works, and final salvation is by perseverance and good works.
Right.
Also, you might think of John Piper. Mm-hmm. A very famous Calvinist. He's now retired from the church he was at in Minnesota, but he still writes, still speaks, still has a website, desiringgod.org.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks all the time about final salvation, that our initial salvation is by faith apart from works, but we must persevere in order to have final salvation.
Right.
So there are many Calvinists now who will say, you're not going to get final salvation unless you persevere.
Now, I think what they would respond is, because that's how you know if you have this God-given faith that is real or this fake non-salvific faith that's just produced by the flesh. The God-given faith is going to have all, it's going to produce all of these works. It is a faith that works. It's not that it's meriting anything because God is causing you to do these works. So it's kind of like that's how you know that you have the right kind of faith. But the problem I see is this, when you're preaching that and you're a Calvinist and you're trying to figure out whether or not I have true faith or not, and they're saying, if you have true faith, you're going to do this, that, and the other thing, how's that going to feel for you? What are you going to think? You're going to think, it's not just enough for me to believe. I need to do these works to at least prove to myself that I have enough good works to have true faith.
Exactly. And there are several books. One is called Assurance and Warning, I think, by Gerald Borchert. There's one by Judith Gundry Wolfe. These books on assurance and warning say that on the one hand, we're assured that if we simply believe in Jesus, we're secure forever. On the other hand, there's all these warnings that if we don't persevere, we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And so their conclusion is, Our assurance depends on our works. Our assurance depends on our perseverance.
Right.
And the more we persevere, the higher our assurance.
Right.
The less we persevere, the less our assurance. But the truth is, no matter how well we're doing today, we can't be sure we're going to persevere tomorrow.
Right. And this idea that works really are not meritorious, to me, it's for the Calvinists, that's all theoretical. It's part of this theoretical package of election and predestination, and God is determining all things. But subjectively speaking, if you want to know if you're one of those people who are going to be saved, you better start working, because that's the only way to have assurance, according to these people.
Which is a sad thing. Vernon is coming from that perspective. So he's disagreeing with us that assurance is found simply in believing the promise of everlasting life. We have to look to our works. And notice in Vernon's question, he talks about true faith, which, remember, you said there's two kinds of faith.
For the Calvinist.
Right. The kind that God gives and the kind that God doesn't
give. Now, the weird thing is, according to the Calvinist now, which I think they have faith totally wrong, they're going to say you can believe in, two people can believe in Jesus for eternal salvation, but if you're not producing the right amount of works, you might have false faith. If you don't have any works, even though you believe in Jesus, that's false faith. That's a natural fleshly faith. True faith not only believes in Jesus, but actually kind of lives a certain type of life.
True, although most Calvinists would say faith has three elements: notitia, sensus, fiducia, and that is understanding, acceptance, and trust.
Right.
And they'll say there's an intellectual component, an emotional component, and a willful component.
Right.
And you must commit your will to follow Christ.
Right.
And so most Calvinists bring works in. Now, they're going to say God does that work in you and causes you to commit yourself, causes you to obey, causes you to do all this. But on the other hand, they say, but yet God uses the warnings to get the elect to do what he wants them to do because he wants to produce fear in us.
Right.
So to me, this whole thing is confusing.
And by the way, I don't want to bang up the Calvinists here. We're just talking about Calvinism because that's what Vernon's writing about. And we're going to get to some of these verses he mentions. But I think the Arminian or the Charismatic or the Pentecostal person is in the same position.
Unless they happen to be free grace, there are some third wave people. They wouldn't call themselves Charismatics, I don't think. But third wave people who are clear on the free gift of everlasting life. What about R.T. Kendall? Didn't he become, I think he's still alive.
He's charismatic.
But he does believe in the free gift of everlasting life.
Yeah, so there are a handful. But most Arminians, most Pentecostals, they're going to say to have true faith, you need to produce good works.
I've often said that Calvinism and Arminianism are basically saying the same thing, and they together join hands around perseverance.
Right. The difference is Calvinists will say, well, theoretically, God produces these works in us. And the Arminian Pentecostal person is going to say, well, you need to choose these good works. But both are going to say it's not enough to just believe. You need a belief that produces good works in your life in order to get this
final
salvation.
And you must persevere to the end.
But now, to be fair to both of them, there are these verses that do say you need to persevere and you need to do good works. And let's look at some of those.
Right. And I think I would say this. I remember when I was in seminary, they said, if you know the Bible well enough, you can create a cult. So people can misuse verse after verse after verse in order to teach that we can't be sure, but let's try some.
Well, here's one in Hebrews 10:39. Vernon's thesis is true faith is demonstrated by a faith that endures to the end. And so this is the very first verse he quotes to show that. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
The problem with his view, that which is that we are those who have the true faith, right? First of all, Vernon can't know that because he doesn't know if he's going to persevere, right?
Right.
And if you understand verse 39 to be saying that the author of Hebrews is sure that the readers are going to do that, then why does three verses earlier in verse 36, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise? Why five warning passages in Hebrews where he says that if we neglect so great a salvation, something terrible is going to happen? Or why in 10:26-31 does he talk about this terrible fate that's going to fall on those who have been sanctified unless they persevere?
Basically, you're saying if God causes you to persevere to the end, why really have these warning passages suggesting that you might not?
Right. And verse 39 is simply expressing the author's confidence.
Yeah.
He's not saying that he's certain that the readers are going to persevere And the saving of the soul, by the way, in verse 39, does not refer to having everlasting life. It refers to someone whose life is going to be saved. It's the saving of the life so that you'll have fullness of life now and in the life to come. Because salvation in Hebrews is primarily ruling with Christ, being his partner, his metakoi, in the life to come. They might look at the commentary by J. Paul Tanner in our Grace New Testament commentary, or Zane Hodges' commentary in the Bible Knowledge commentary. They both discuss this verse 39.
Well, and also Ken Yates' new commentary.
Ken Yates, that's right. So they all three say this is simply expressing the author's confidence that the readers will respond properly to his five warnings.
Right. It looks like they were going to go back into Judaism, in which case they would suffer some type of temporal judgment, and they would lose out on being rewarded by being a partner with Christ.
Right. They were being tempted to go back to animal sacrifices as the means by which they would have at least fellowship with God, if not everlasting life. So they were being tempted to fall away from the faith.
But there's no sense here that there's a true faith versus a false faith.
No, actually just the opposite. He's saying these people truly believe in Jesus right now, but they're in danger of falling away.
Right. Well, the next verse that Vernon uses is Luke chapter 8.
I love this passage. This is the parable of the four soils.
All right. So this is the parable of the four soils. And traditionally, Bob, this has been understood as meaning that the first three soils aren't really saved and only the last soil is saved. But you've argued for a long time.
Just the opposite.
It's quite the opposite. Just the opposite. In fact, I was discussing this with some students a few weeks ago, and they had been taught, we thought that this was three failures and only one success. In a way, they were right, but that's not exactly what the parable is teaching. We will talk about that next episode.
Good.
Keep on listening to Grace in Focus. Listen to previous episodes at our website or on Stitcher or on iTunes. And we'll explore this issue. Is there a difference between true faith and false faith? And is that difference whether or not you produce good works? It's a great question. Keep on listening for the answer.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, there's still more to say on our subject for today, so we're going to continue this conversation on tomorrow's episode, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.